So Rabbi Sai, as always, our limud of Hilchas Lashon Hara from the Chofetz Chaim is Lizchus Refuah of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla B'Soy Shachon Yisrael Bim Heiro. So today is an experiment. Instead of bringing the regular Sefer that we learn every day of Alocha a day or a lesson a day, I brought with the Sefer Chofetz Chaim the art scroll version of the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, which is actually the text of the Chofetz Chaim with the Be'er Ma'im Chaim, etc. There's an English translation. He's got, from time to time, he brings examples of the halachas that we're learning, calls them scenarios. Yeah, so I thought I'll bring with, I've got four scenarios I'm going to offer you as the Bez Din of Lashon Hara in Golders Green, and to see what you would think is should be the halacha in each of those cases based on what we've been learning. So the first one he brings down is as follows. Leah's expensive coat is missing from the shul coat room. One Shabbos morning, she came to shul with an expensive coat. At the end of davening, it's not there anymore. A few days later, her friend Rivka sees another girl, Rochel, who was in shul on Shabbos, wearing exactly the same style and color coat. Now, Rochel comes from a poor family. The original owner of the coat, Leah, came from a rich family, and the coat's quite an expensive coat. So Rochel, the poor girl, if you like, is now walking around in an expensive coat which went missing from the cloakroom in shul on Shabbos. So Rivka reports her findings to Leah. So Rivka says, I've seen that Rochel is wearing your coat. Is Leah allowed to believe that this is her coat? Is she allowed to be mekabel lashon hara that effectively Rochel took her coat from the cloakroom on Shabbos?
No.
Avadia, you said no, but why not?
Why? Because you're not allowed to. How do you know? You didn't see it taking, so you can't say something.
Okay. So Avadia says because she didn't actually witness the coat being taken. Therefore, you can't assume. You can't rely on that evidence, if you like. Yeah.
The statement was wrong in the first place.
What was wrong with the statement?
Your coat, Marks and Spencer's, there were 500, like in the men's coats, it's easy to pick up a coat that's very, very similar.
So maybe it's a similar coat.
Marks and
Yeah, but we're talking here in our halacha of Devarim Nikorim. Devarim Nikorim, we said that there's circumstantial evidence. Rochel can't afford a coat like that. It's not a Marks and Spencer coat, right? It's a designer coat. It's Yves Saint Laurent. And it must, you know, it's got Harrods label inside. Or whatever. Yeah, it's a coat that, normally speaking, you would think that Rochel can't afford. Leah could afford it, and she did have such a coat. And now Rivka's seen her in the street wearing a coat, which Lechoira is probably the one that was taken from shul.
Nobody saw her taking it.
That's what Shimon says as well.
I love your coat. Where did you get this from? I want to go.
What? She can go up, yeah, okay, but she doesn't do that. She's not friendly with Rochel, she's not on speaking terms with Rochel, whatever. Can she go and tell Leah, and you're all right? Yeah, the halacha is that it says here that Leah is not permitted to believe that Rochel was wearing her coat unless she has direct proof. For example, she said, if obviously she got a name label inside the coat, or she had a brooch which was hers on the outside of the coat, which identifies it specifically as her coat. If there's proof that it was her coat, then you can believe it. If not, despite the fact that there are Devarim Nikorim, it appears that circumstantial evidence is that Rochel can't normally afford to wear a coat like that, you're not allowed to believe that that coat is the one that was stolen. Okay, that was number one. I've got three more for you, so we'll carry on tomorrow. Just do the announcement. Yeah. Torreway, Northwest London, Chof Hei Eor, 2nd of June, Memlo Oime, Rav Shimshon Silkin Shlita, Shavuos Under a Mountain.
Good morning.
Morning, Rabbi Silkin.
It's Shavuos, comma, Under a Mountain. It's not necessarily Shavuos Under a Mountain, but you're right, Shavuos was Under a Mountain, as we'll discuss presently. It's good to see such a huge crowd turn up on a gloriously sunny morning. Anyone wants to be out walking in the heath? And we would in Mitzvah Shem talk about this this idea of Klal Yisrael being under the mountain, because the Pasuk says famously, Vayisyatzfu b'sachti sahar, the Klal Yisrael were camped b'sachti sahar, and that sounds like that they were under the mountain. As the Gemara says in Shabbos Taf Peches, the Klal Yisrael were under the mountain. Why were they under the mountain? So the Gemara, Manam Shukof Alim Harki Gigis, this teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, or maybe not even so to speak, maybe literally, lifted the mountain over the heads of Klal Yisrael and said to them, okay, it's like this. Either you accept my Torah, and if you do, all well and good. Sure. But if you don't, Shomtei Kvaraschem, goodbye. And the obvious kasha is, well, the Gemara says that the problem is Mikan Moido Rabeloi Raiso, that because this implies that Klal Yisrael were coerced into receiving the Torah, to accepting the Torah. They didn't do it of their own volition. And the problem with that is that, what kind of Kabbalah is that? That's not real Kabbalah. So the Gemara says it doesn't matter, because anyway, Kimu B'Kibla Yehudim, that they re-accepted the Torah in the time of Achashverosh, and that time they did a Ba'ava, it wasn't under duress, and therefore it doesn't matter. Which creates all sorts of new kashas, because what happened between Matan Torah and after the first bayis? I mean, it's a whole time during the bayis rishon. Klal Yisrael keeping the Torah sort of in a bedievedik way. Okay, looking Tosfos on the daf. Really, there's a bigger kasha, which is why was it necessary? Why was it necessary? They said Nasav and Ishmael. The whole point of Klal Yisrael's selection and why we were chosen, why we are the Ama Nivcho, is because we said we want it. All the other nations, which is state, in the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went from nation to nation saying, do you want my Torah? And their response always was, my Ksiv Beit. Well, it depends. Depends what it is. Depends what it says. All right, and they sort of were deliberating and they said, we'll get back to you, or, you know, it's not for us. All right. Nein, 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 haltes allein, like the song goes, right? You keep it. Only Klal Yisrael nasa nasa v'nishma. So the famous question is, never mind, but on top of the problem of Mikan, Moido, Rabbe, Lo, Raisa, we have the problem that L'chori was totally unnecessary. Why would you put a gun to someone's head to force them to do something that they're doing of their own volition, that they're doing out of their own rotzen anyway? Tosa zeh ha'shver ha'kasha. Yeah, so I'm the Gemara there, I'm Tosfos. We'll take a slightly different mahalach based on a different kasha that relates to this whole scene of Klal Yisrael under the mountain. If you look in Maharal, it's interesting. His mahalach is, just as an aside, which might come in later, Maharal state that the vault was that It can't be seen as if Klal Yisrael are going to decide whether there's going to be a Torah. Right? Once the nations of the world have said no, once they said no, so what? So the Torah has to sit in the corner and wait for someone to accept it, to receive it? Well, what kind of bezoyin would that be? For that would be a terrible bezoyin for the Torah. So the point of the mountain lifting over the heads was to say, this isn't up to you, you should know, right? So I created this world for the Torah, b'shvil bereshis, b'shvil Torah shenikoreshis, whether you like it or not, you're receiving the Torah, okay? It shouldn't be as if, you know, we said nasam and ishma, so we're entitled now, and we chose you, say, for Torah, we chose you, Torah itself, and therefore we're going to decide, you know, as to whether you apply or don't apply. Chas v'shalom, right? The Torah is happening whether you like it or not. Yom HaShishi, right? HaShishi, the Shishi, is Vav Sivan, because that's the day that the Torah was given and the whole purpose of creation was for that moment. So, still a bit shved. So, what was the Nasa and Ishmael all about? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu go from nation to nation offering them the option of receiving the Torah, not receiving the Torah? Okay, so we'll see if that comes in a bit later. But there's a different question, a very famous question of the Rambam, which we can try and address, which we'll see, in a philosophical way, represents what was happening here in a physical way. Here you had a mountain suspended over the heads of Klal Yisrael, but that was against a backdrop of them saying, Naaseh v'nishma, of their own choice. So that's the question with regard to Kabbalah Satora. But there's a kasha that the Rambam asks. The emphasis is before the Rambam. You can find this question already raised in the writings of the Goinim, already hundreds of years before the Rambam, which is as follows. Famous question. The Rambam asks, with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's foreknowledge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything before it's even happened. Sofo Mabidat Sof Kol Adoris V'Sishteit, or as it says in the Tefillah of Yigdal, which is based on the Ikra Emunah, there it says, Tzofe v'yodea sesoreinu, mabit l'soif davar bekadmosoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu sees the end result before it's even happened. Frag the Rambam, im kein, if that's the case, then we have a major problem with the whole concept called Bechira, or Bechira Chofshis. How can a person choose a path for themselves if HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knows which path they're going to take? Yep. Lashon of the Rambam is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew this person was going to be a tzaddik, then he doesn't have a choice of being a rosha. Even if it's in the moment, is he going to be a tzaddik or a rosha in this moment? Is he going to do the mitzvah? Or is he not going to do it? Is he going to put on his tefillin that morning? Or is he going to say Kirishma? Or is he not? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that he's going to say Kirishma, knock with his tefillin on, so he's going to do that. He's not the option of not doing that is not available to him. And if it is available to him, says the Rambam, if the other option really is still available to him, then it comes out Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't know Chas Roshon to say such a thing.
No time.
Time. Okay. So time is a mahalach. I've seen the mahalach of using time, which is a nivro, as a means of answering this question. I've seen that brought down in Shuvas Chasam Sofer. I'm not aware of an earlier source in this, but if there is one, I'm glad to hear it. I know Chassov used it as a mahalach, and the interesting thing is that basically that mahalach is based on a Rambam, because it's the Rambam that teaches us the whole concept of Azman Nivro, Ki Agalgal Nivro, right, in Mor Nevuchim. But the Rambam himself doesn't use that mahalach. The Rambam himself doesn't use it. So this whole discussion is in the Rambam and Hilchus Tshuva, where the Rambam at the beginning, beginning of Perek Hey. The Rambam lists out very clearly that the whole Torah, and therefore the whole world, is really predicated upon a concept called Bechira. Because without Bechira, there's basically no Torah, he says. There's no Torah. And then everything that the Torah says, what we just had yesterday in the parasha, Im chukos ha'telechu, but if chasron im chukos ha'temosu, I don't understand. If I haven't got the choice, if I don't know Bechira, it's all irrelevant. You can't go up to an apple tree and say, make me a coffee. Right, and if it doesn't make you a cup of coffee, you start whipping the tree. It's insane, right? It has no choice. All it can do is make you an apple. It cannot make you a coffee. It can't. By virtue of the fact, this is the Rambam, by virtue of the fact that the Torah instructs us to do certain things and instructs us against doing other things, and the schar and onish that is all associated with all of those things, zocharaya, that obviously I've got free choice. Muzanachot bechira, frak the Rambam mebazoi. How do I square that with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knows what I'm going to do? So I don't really have Bechira.
Yeah, but you're not doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows it. You do it because of your own Bechira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowing in advance what Bechira is going to happen. But that's simply his own decision.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that in the moment when you're standing there facing a choice as to whether you're going to go right or you're going to go left, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows you're going to go right means that you cannot go left. You can't. You might think you can. In your mind, you might think you're making a decision there, you're making a ganzer cheshbon, yeah, you're going through all the options. One of those options is not, whatever it's going to be, is going to be. It's in a sense, you don't have to go through the whole mahalach. You don't have to kvetch, you don't have to clay, you don't have to ask a shayle, you don't have to ask to get a second opinion. What's going to be, is going to be. You go back to bed. Betim, it takes all the koyach out of your process of putting your choice into the matter.
I had an example, like a teacher knows the answers what your children.
The thing, if you start using a human example, I'll tell you why that's flawed. Let's not use a teacher. Let's use the following marshal. There's a very young child, a 1-year-old child, little boy, sitting in his high chair. Not the einikel. Yeah, he's sitting in his high chair. And he put two bowls of food in front of that child. right? A bowl of jellies and candies and sweets and everything, akishmak. And the other one, you put some ichves, lukewarm, a watery spinach, yeah, left over from Shabbos, yeah, and you put that bowl, and you leave the room. And somebody says to you, right, so he hasn't eaten yet, which bowl is that child going to eat? You'll say 100% he's eating the candies. That the teacher knows the child's going to get. I know for sure. You come back in the room 5 minutes later, right? There's not one candy removed from the bowl. It's entirely full, and the spinach is cleaned out all over his face, right? What happened? 1,000 things could have happened. I mean, maybe the child actually likes broccoli. Maybe the child's colorblind and he thinks that the candy is broccoli, broccoli's candy. Maybe a spider crawled into the candy bowl. Right? Human knowledge is never absolute before it's happened. Cannot be. It can be a high probability, it's a good chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge is absolute. Without even going into time, time helps make it even more absolute because it's already happened. Betzim has already happened. Yeah? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge is so immovable, it's so absolute. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is going to happen is happening. Or you can even say has happened. So if it's happened already, it's a vos habichit. I've got no koyach.
You've got no further choice. In other words, the person, when he's capacitated, he's capable of choice. That's the maximum goal.
Oh.
And therefore, he's got choice. The fact that Abishta knows it does not diminish his choice in 1%.
You have to be right, but that whole go for gasha. You have to be right that I've got full bechira. Otherwise, I may as well be a pussycat. That has no bechira b'chal. I may as well be. Oh, but the problem is that l'chora Kodesh Baruch Hu's yidiyah is machriach the result. Therefore, I can't choose something that isn't in Kodesh Baruch Hu's book. What's written in Kodesh Baruch Hu's book, I'm going to do is going to happen. That means the other thing. It's almost like I've got two doors in front of me, and I think should I go right, left, right? One of those doors is locked. One of those doors is not even a door. It's not even a door. I think it is. It looks like it is. Of a Sinishkin door. Because it's not an available option to me. I might think it is, but it isn't. The mice, it isn't.
You have to say that Kodesh Baruch Hu allows you to have free will. Therefore, he allows you to choose. Therefore, having chosen, everything is reset.
It's reset?
It's rather like Waze. When you go to Waze, it tends to go this way. But if you change your mind, everything...
It resets? That's what's happening. But that means that Kodesh Baruch Hu's knowledge wasn't absolute. That means that Kodesh Baruch Hu's got to change his mind.
No, not at all. Because he knows you're going to change and he knows you're going to reset, but he allows you to reset.
So if you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu today, you ask Hashem today, right, what are you going to do tomorrow? So he's going to allow you to reset tomorrow, recalibrate? He says, tomorrow, you're going to wear your tefillin. Tomorrow, you wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm not in the mood. You wake up in the morning and say, I'm actually not in the mood. So I've said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, I meant you're not going to wear tefillin. That's that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu today is not sure what we're going to do tomorrow. Yeah. Waze is not sure. Waze allows you to change its mind. You can't change Hashem's mind.
In the end, you're left with an omniscient God and free will.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Look, it's not... not for a Torah way morning. Okay, I hear what you're saying. The emissary is that the Rambam in his own Lashon says that this question is so big that it's Arukam Eres Midor Rechovim in Yam, is wider than the earth and than the sea. It's such an enormous problem. The emissary is based on what some people have been saying here this morning, that if you look, for example, Rabbeinu Sadiagon, he seems to be not so fussed by the question. He seems to allow a bit like what you were saying. I was just pushing back to be devil's advocate, but he pushes back by saying, sorry, he answers by using almost the concept of lemafreya. Like in retrospect, we do have a concept even in halacha that something tomorrow can determine the past. Yeah, someone gives us, oh, do I forget if I don't come back within 30 days, right? And then 15 days later, she goes and, you know, marries somebody else, and then 31 days later, he comes back. So was she mazana? All of these discussions in Shas. Or somebody who Reuben sells Shimon a cow on Monday if it rains on Tuesday, but Monday night Levi steals the cow and then it rains on the Tuesday, so who does Levi pay the cow back to? Wherever you look, you know, all this concept of Lemafreya, retrospection. So it could be that Takiyas, he doesn't use the word Lemafreya, but if you look in the Sif Sechaim Rechaim Friedland, the way he quotes from Sadia Gaon, he's saying that. But, okay, Yishanor Rav Dessler, by the way, just to put it out there, Rav Dessler, fascinatingly, and Rav Dessler knew Kol HaTorah. Now we forget, you know, Rav Dessler was a big Baal Machshava. You know, I think I mentioned this here before, that Rav Chaim Oizer, Rav Chaim Moser would not give smita to those who were with us in Lita recently, went to Rav Chaim Moser's house. Rav Chaim Moser would not give smicha to anyone. Nobody got smicha from him, not even the Chazon Ish. Nobody was big enough. Rav Chaim Moser was such a gaon, he was the nicest person, but he was such a gaon, how could you get smicha from Rav Chaim Moser? No one could get smicha from Rav Chaim Moser. Rav Chaim Moser could write two teshuvas, two complicated teshuvas, right, in halacha, at the same time, right? He would have different dayonim, Rosh Bezdin in his house, each dealing with some very, very complex nidden, and he'd go from one to the other. His goyness was beyond description. There was one person, however, who was zoicha to a smicha from Chaim Moser, Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler was the only one who ever got an actual smicha from Chaim Moser. His goyness and Torah was beyond description. But he actually, in his sefer, is brought down there, that he said one approach to dealing with this question is that there's something in life called a paradox. Yesh kaze davar shenikra paradox. And this is a paradox. And he actually brings an example, Chochma Bagoyim Tam, and then he actually quotes the famous Zeno's motion paradox, which talks about why a hare cannot mathematically overtake a tortoise as long as a tortoise is in constant motion. Yeah, that famous paradox. And he says, okay, so Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what I'm going to do, and that means I'm going to have to do it. I've still got complete Bechira to choose whether I'm going to do that or do something completely different. And somehow there's a stira to Kodesh Baruch Hu's yedia. Okay, and so what? Okay, one could take that mahalach. Interestingly, the Rambam himself does not use that mahalach. I'm not even going to tell you what the Rambam's mahalach is today. There are various different mahalachim in all of this. I would like to use a mahalach of actually Rabbi Chana. So much more. We could do the Chasam Sofer as well, maybe at some point. I'll come to Rabbi Chana in a moment. Just to be makdim, a hakdoma to what Rabbi Chana is saying is like this. Actually, how long do we have till 10 to? I'm not going to be makdim. I don't have time for the hakdomas. I'm going to go straight for Rabbi Chana. If there's time, maybe I'll come back. In halacha, we know that there are different levels of committing an avera. The emphasis says it sort of applies to mitzvahs also. When it comes to averas, a person can commit an avera b'shoyeg, or a person can commit an avera b'mezid. They're very different. Very different. It's not the same thing. Different levels of chiyuv. There's even a level beyond mezid, even worse than mezid, which is sometimes called merida, or it's called a mumma lahachis, because a mezid is someone who's a mumma l'teovin. That means he knows he shouldn't do it, so he's a dafkanik, he's a mezid, doing the mezid, he knows, it's not like he's got the het over that he doesn't know, or that he's not aware, he knows, right? The mezid, but it's l'teovin, I can't help myself, I just have such a desire for pepperoni pizza. Yeah, I can't help myself. There's mumel oven. Then there's a level of mumel hachis, which is he doesn't even like pepperoni pizza. Doesn't even like it. Right? Doesn't like the salami and his cheese. Ober, he's angry. He's angry. He wants to be a moir b'malchus. Wants to rebel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's even worse. That's mumel hachis. But when we say shoygeg, there's a level even beneath shoygeg. The level beneath shoygeg is an onus, right? Onus Rachmona Patrick. The person who does something with shoygeg still has to bring the korban. He's still chayv on some level. So Pshadid is potter in Gansen. Why? Because there's a level of responsibility that is still attributed to that person. Episode hot katon shlecht. At the end of the day, he should have been more careful. He's negligent, right? That's dos hashoygeg. Oynus, what can he do? A person is kidnapped and has their hands tied behind their back and they're forced into a maisa avera. Okay, recently in the daf where the whole mitzvah with erevah, is it possible to have an erevah bo'inus? Right, because big machos by erevah. But with most averas, I had no choice. From someone force feeds me trade for food, rams it down my throat. What's going to do? Even there, you have to say that the mitzvah trade for food can have an impact on the person even against their will. Or be mitzad the chiyuv, our onus is even less than the shogi. So if a person is taka, forced into doing something wrong, that person is not even a shogeg, and they're potter and gansen. Asks Rabbi Chanan, what would happen If a person, tog teglich, every single day, day in, day out, commits the same avera, he taka makes himself that meaty, say meat and cheese sandwich, and goes into cheese toaster, and he washes it down with his tray for wine. That's his daily breakfast. Oh, yeah, with his bacon rinds and everything else. Okay, that's his breakfast every single day. One day on his way home from shul, a white van pulls up on the side of the road. Three masked men jump out. Yeah, Mr. Yidler, probably two masked men is enough. Anyway, throws him in the back of the van, and they force feed him his standard breakfast that he has every single day. Can that person turn around and say, Rebbeinu Shalilom, ich bin oynes, ich bin potter? So Bechonah brings raya's from Shas that it's yitochin that that person cannot pull out the trump card, the get out of jail card, not the trump card. Freudian slip. Yeah. Can you pull out the get out of jail card?
It's also a trump card.
Yeah. It's also a trump card. Oh, good gazok, yeah. Yeah. Can you say, Potrich, I can't have the tie my hands behind my back because I'm going to name. Doesn't work. It's Bechidish, doesn't work. Yeah. He basically says, it's all very well if a person forces you into an avera that's not your thing. So, maybe in that moment, you say, but if the person, that's who he is, and that's what he does, and that's his regular activity, and that shows that's what he wants. Don't tell me that moment was against your will, because oynes besem means against your will. This was not against your will. This is absolutely in line with your will. This is mamish yerotz, and this is what you want. This we do every day. So a person's chayev. So Rav Chanan, a grosser chap, he says, if that's the case, what's the difference between what you might call a physical coercion, where a person's literally physically tied up and forced to do an avera, or a philosophical coercion, where a person is being forced, so to speak, to commit an act because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows he's going to do that act? What's the difference if it's two men in the back of a van, or it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's foreknowledge that is being machriya the outcome? What's the difference? What's the difference if the hechruch comes, you're being forced because you have your hands trussed up like a chicken? Or, b'sana ashkofa, because Shmokha knows you're going to do it, and that's why you're mechai. It doesn't matter. You're still responsible. Why are you responsible? Because das ist dein Rotzen. Das willst du. That's what you want. You've demonstrated that that's your Rotzen. The fact that it's being forced upon you doesn't make it not yours. Doesn't take the responsibility away from you. And that hein the tov, hein the mutav, it also applies to mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows I'm going to do this mitzvah. So what? That doesn't mean it's not my mitzvah. Just because I'm forced to do it, the fact that I'm choosing to do it, that I want it, that makes it mine. Zog de Meshe Chochma, in Parshas Yisrei. Melam Meshe Kofan im Haki Gigis. Pirish, what was Pshat, by the way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kofan im Haki Gigis, that this mountain is over the head. It would appear, Anias Daitid, Meshach Chochma is saying that it wasn't literal. It wasn't like the whole Mount Sinai sort of detached from the ground. But rather, Zogdeh, Sheher Elohen, Kvoid Hashem, Bohokit, to be his galus niflo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Klal Yisrael his Kvoid Shomayim with such clarity, in such open, undeniable state. Ad kimamish botlo b'chirosom ativi, to the point that the b'chira was removed from them. That's what it means. V'yotzon ishmosom v'asogas kvod Hashem. V'ho yu mechrochim k'malochim v'lo hevdel. And they were forced into receiving the Torah at that point. Mamish like malochim. V'rohu kol kikol ha'nivroim tolu rak v'kabolas ha'toyro. And they realized that the whole creation and everything that's in it is completely dependent upon kabolas ha'toyro. So in that moment, how could you not? Either said Nasim and Ishma. So here brings another Rambam. The Rambam says, on the Gemara, we have a famous Gemara by Korbonus, but it's also true with other mitzvahs, that the Bezin have a right to do what's called Koifin Achiyoyma Roitzani. That the Bezdin can force a person into carrying out the mitzvah or prevent them from doing an avera by beating him or putting some other pressure on him until he says, yeah, yeah, that's what I want. So what's going on there? But he doesn't want. He doesn't want. He's being forced into it. He doesn't want it. It's not his bechira. So the Rambam famously, v'zeh l'shoyne azov, v'ein oim im onus, el im ken nilchaz v'nilcha glas v'tov v'she'en m'chui bo min ha-toyra. Aber mi she tok for yitzroi hora, levatl mitzvoi las z'avera. A person whose yitzroi hora has got a hold of him, to not do a mitzvah or to do an avera chasron, v'huko at she osso dover shechayv laso yisoy, ein ze onus, el hu onas atzme v'day to hara. Why is he not considered onus? Me'achas hu roitze liyos mi Yisrael, v'roitze hu lasus kol ha-mitzvahs, v'yitzroi shetokvei. This yid, he wants to be part of Klal Yisrael, and he wants to do the mitzvahs, except his yitzroi hara got a hold of him. Therefore, v'kimin shehuko ashe toshe yitzroi, when you push him and push him, push him, the real desire comes out. And dos das zog meshachochma. This is what's happening at Kabbalah Zatorah. When they said Nasi v'nishma, that was their real rotzen. That was their real desire. That's what they wanted. That was that when, the fact that the mountain was over the head was just bringing out their rotzen. Was bringing out the true inner desire of the yid that wants to. I want to do these mitzvahs. In other words, it's all about the rotzen. It's all about the rotzen. Whether we're talking about the fact that Hashem knows what I'm going to do, which is a bit like a mountain hovering over my head, which is forcing me to do it, or it's not literally a mountain, but it's such a tremendous iskalos of Kavod Shemayim, or it's the fact, as Rav Chanan says, that Kodesh Baruch Hu knows I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter. Koifin oisoi ad sheyoyma roitzani. What's happening is that the deep inner desire of the yid is being extracted here. It's being pulled out. The nasa v'nishma is being pulled out. It's being revealed in terms of what it is that we want to do.
So in that case, there's no moedah rabba.
Yeah, according to that, it wouldn't be a moedah rabba.
So that doesn't work.
It's a bit shvet. He actually starts the piece by saying, "Oh, my rabba mikam moedah rabba lo raisa." Then he says, "Oh, the kofim mekobans rishmorizani." Emes says, not all the Rishonim agree with the Rambam. For example, the Rabban. The Rabban in Yevomis, Daf Nun Gimel, disagrees. The Maisa Ein Shom, it's a big raid on this. But Al Kaponim, see the whole Meshach Chochma by Arichas until the end. But the Yesod Lechore is in all of this, and this comes back to the Maharal. The Maharal is saying that the Torah should be subject to the whims of the people as if we want it, we don't want it, no. The Torah is happening. This is like the Kofanim Hakigigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Torah is happening. The Torah is happening. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for is the Rotzen. It's Shendi Gemara, Rachmana Liba Boy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Rotzen. That's why we daven same Belibeinu Lahovinu Lahaskel. Belibeinu? Berosheinu, Bemoicheinu. Same Belibeinu. So what about the Rotzen? The Ike Kabbalah Satorah is in the Rotzen. I mean, you could answer the whole gufa. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe to say to them. That when Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe to be oichas v'kisei hakoven, and you tell the malachim why the Torah is not for them, but the kashis on the Gemara. Kashis Gemara, what was that having in it? I know, Achrashtein, but the whole gufa. That's the Gemara. Now that is the Gemara. The Moshe Rabbeinu says it's not for you, but to the kashis on the Gemara, anyway, what was that having in it? The emes is, I scribbled to myself a note that had there been time, we can get into a different Reb Dessler where he talks about that Bechira Be'etzem is actually not the goal. We're supposed to become Mochrochim like Malochim. If you look through Kuntras HaBechira, he talks about how we're actually supposed to get to the point of Mochrochim. Bechira Chofshis is only a stepping stone towards being like the Malach. Okay, but Even without that, lemaisa. Okay, I hear shver. The malachim is shver. But I think that this mahalach, special mahalach, or bchonon is a very clever chap in explaining the whole yidir bechira. But in terms of on a practical level, we can answer a philosophical question. Okay, so Hashem's yidir is now not a steer to my bechira because my bechira is all in my rotzen. Okay. So that's mahalach. But in terms of the practical, the Torah is the Torah. Bereshis v'shul Torah nikareshis. So what's going to be is going to be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan. And the master plan was only Torah. Bereshis v'shul Torah nikareshis, v'shul Yisor nikareshis. And the whole tachlis of the world was that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give the Torah 2,500 years later to Klal Yisrael and Maimon HaSinai. And that's the tachlis of the world until the end of time. What's required is, like we said yesterday at the beginning of the parashah, "V'chakosai teilechu shetiu amelim matoiro." What's that? Amelim matoiro. Well, I'm learning Torah without omel. Name. If I learn Torah without omel, it means I don't want it. Well, like I said, the chorchuber nabayis is lo birchu batoiro tchila. Again, what's the lo birchu batoiro? Because I didn't want it. It's all about the rotzen. The whole nas of a nishma, it's going to happen anyway. B'seidah, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is not looking to see whether you're going to make it happen. I'm making it happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking to see whether you want it to happen, whether you want to be a part of it. Thus is the nas of a nishma of Shavuos. And even though we're under a mountain, we still have a kabbalah satoira.
I have
a
chat to say that, like a marriage. So we say, hey, after the Kadosh, he takes the ring. Yes?
Yeah.
And then he takes a gun.